Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Business Beyond Borders, where we have made it our mission to talk to global experts and professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders from a variety of industries and fields as we tackle the many aspects of scaling an international business. The goal here is to collect valuable insights and share in-depth knowledge so that you too can apply the winning techniques and strategies to go global and take your business to the world.
Hi there, I'm Cynthia Dearen, and welcome to Business Beyond Borders, where I unlock the secrets of international business success. Today, I'm welcoming Tom Griffith, co-founder of Aussie company Emma & Toms, back to the show. Tom, great to have you here.
Hi, Cynthia. Nice to be on board. Thank you.
Now, you are already pretty famous, and we have talked about Emma & Tom before on this show. But for anybody who doesn't know you or who missed our first episode, can you just do a quick recap of the Emma & Tom story for us, just for context?
Sure. Emma & Tom's is a natural Australian healthy food and beverage business. We primarily sell super premium fruit juice, kombuchas, you know, no added sugar flavoured milks, sparkling quenches, etc. Right throughout the route trade, being sort of cafes, delis, you know, supermarkets in Australia and in the two main grocery chains. We're about 15 years old. We've got about 50 staff, and business is obviously a bit up and down during lockdowns, but we're managing to survive.
You guys sell internationally as well, right?
Yeah, we've done a lot of export. That's come back because of COVID, but we're still doing very strong sales, for example, in Hong Kong. China's dropped off, but Hong Kong and Singapore have been very, very good. In fact, my last conversation on my last Zoom only 10 minutes ago was about reinvigorating export in the next half of this year.
That's really exciting. Today came about because you and I recently had a conversation about ERPs. And for anybody who doesn't know, ERP is an acronym for Enterprise Resource Planning. We were walking around and I was complaining to you about some of the companies that I work with who make good money at home and also overseas, but struggle to keep it in the business because of how they manage resources, especially stock. And you said to me, you know, with some excitement, they need an ERP, which I totally agree with. You've used ERPs more than I have because of the kind of business that you are in. And so I am really keen to hear about your experience with ERPs and why they are so important, even if a company isn't yet enormous. So, you know, let's start with the basics. For anybody who hasn't seen one, what is an ERP?
An ERP is essentially an integrated general ledger to start with, really basically. It's your accounting, okay? Now, when we started, we had a very basic package, which, for example, could only account for stock in one location and it couldn't do foreign currencies. So an ERP system integrates your operations right through from human resources, from your customer database and to your inventory stock and bank, and it puts it all together in one package. So you end up being able to have essentially the end result. It's on your phone. You can have a dashboard, which is in real time because ERPs are in the cloud, real time, all important metrics for your business. You know, the amount of days you've got in inventory, your average sales per unit per week, per state. You know, we can cut and slice our data to whatever you like. You know, we sell a product called Green Power. It's a green juice. Well, you know, I can give you data on Green Power by month, by state, by retail pipeline, by salesperson. So having that sort of that level of information is obviously vital, because back in the olden days, you know, we would have an accountant and she'd say to us in September, oh, you lost $40,000 worth of stock in May. Well, bad luck, it's gone. Can't do a thing about it, you know, months later. So, you know, we're now reporting 10 days after month end. We're live. The transformation is fundamental. ERP integrates everything. Let's say you have I'll use a basic example. You have a small car accident and you have to get that repaired. Now, you can attach to the ledger account regarding the repair costs the quote from the mechanic or the panel beater. You can put in photographs of the vehicle, put in a witness statement. So it's everything all in one place. It becomes very, very simple, and it's not expensive. I mean, we've used...
That sounds like it might be a real-life example.
Well, I do have about 40 vans driving around, and they do occasionally get dinged, I can tell you. But it's not dear. I forget what we pay now, but it's somewhere, after memory, a couple of thousand bucks per user per year. the transformation was easy. I mean, we've got a fantastic CFO, and when he joined a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, he didn't seem to have a speed bump in getting his head around using the software, its level of sort of, you know, intuitiveness. It's all very simple, and obviously it allows for much greater flexibility. So like I said, we could only account for stock in one location. We couldn't do foreign exchange. So it allows you to expand your business. And obviously a lot of ERP systems have an integration where you can add modules to it.
So just take me back to the time when you decided to get an ERP for Emma and Tom. Do you remember what was happening in the business at the time that you decided to get the ERP? You know, do you remember what the circumstances were? I mean, you gave the example of the accountant telling you 4 or 5 months later that you'd lost money, but can you remember at the exact moment that you decided to get it, what was happening and what you were going through?
We had a dozen Excel spreadsheets holding things together. It was a disgrace. And I did most of the research work, and we settled on it's an Oracle product called J-Curve. That's basically a junior version of their bigger ERP, which is called NetSuite. Frankly, yeah, we couldn't have been happier. And of course, I've got, you know, up to, let's say, 35 different van drivers delivering stock all around Australia. And as they enter into their PDAs, that essentially goes to the cloud and updates our sales and our stock figures. So the insights you've got and the instantaneous insights you've got are huge, because, as you know, it's all about data. I was talking to a guy recently, and he quoted the head of IMG in Manhattan, who said, "Data is the new oil." You know, it's all back to data. You know, if you don't know where you are, you're just going to drown.
Yeah, I love that. If you don't know where you are, you're just going to drown. So, I mean, if you look at how long has it been since the ERP has been in place in Emma and Tom?
Oh, it's got to be, I think, 7 or 8 years now.
Okay. And if you look at, you know, that last 7 or 8 years, if you had to pick out the top 2 or 3 things that it's done for the business, how would you summarize them?
I mean, we wanted some more money out of the bank that we thought we were entitled to, as far as our, you know, lending parameters and things. And they gave us what I think they probably thought was a very clever wish list of, you know, about 20 different conditions or information requests that we needed to furnish them to have our case considered. And my CFO came back with basically a 20-tab Excel spreadsheet with all the data laid down very clearly, forming a very clear argument as to why all of their requests could be, I suppose, answered positively. So the ability to respond to your bank, to investors, to people seeking inject money into the business for a start is enormous. And then, of course, it's your ability to monitor your own business. I mean, we've been working very hard for the last, particularly during COVID, of, you know, getting our days inventory down, our days receivable down. And, you know, we can track that once again by category, by state, by the different sales staff. You know, you can have one particular salesperson do a certain run 1 week, and the following week it's quite comparable. I mean, once again, we've also got about 45 different products. Well, you can work out, if you've only got, say, for example, a spot for 8 bottles in a fridge, what's the ideal blend of your offering to maximize sales from that real estate? All the grocery buyers, you know, Coles and Woolworths in Australia, they've got immense amounts of data. So you can't really tell them anything new, but you look like a complete amateur if you are not up at their level.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I was just thinking, with that inventory piece, I mean, the ability to use the data to reduce inventory and to manage the accounts receivable and accounts payable days must be so important for a business carrying stock at this time, when for so many businesses sales are flat. That control over the balance sheet is really the only set of levers that you've got sometimes, isn't it, to make things, you know, go in your favor.
Oh, totally. I mean, our business, you know, I would guarantee on many, many, many businesses you could probably unlock, you know, $200,000-$300,000 of inventory, which goes straight to cash. And, you know, it's all about cash.
Absolutely. Just talk to me about ERPs in the global setting, you know, in the international space. Why have you found the ERP so important as Emma and Tom has scaled internationally? And can you give an example of how you use it in your overseas operations as compared to how you use it back here at home?
I mean, when we export, for example, there's different invoicing terms which you can obviously insert into the module. So obviously, if you make a sale in Australia, you probably get paid 30 or 45 days after the sale. With most export sales, if people aren't aware, it's called FOB, Free On Board, or Ex Works. And essentially, the stock doesn't leave either your warehouse or the country until you are paid. So once again, you're monitoring, because you can interface your bank account with the ERP system, so it all downloads automatically. So you can have alerts on things, when you've been paid, when the money's coming in, what currency it's in, and obviously you can also interface live foreign exchange data if you're trading in a different currency. Likewise, if you're having to buy imported product, we buy it's a seaweed from North America. So once again, if you're getting things like foreign exchange rates wrong, you're getting your costing wrong. If you get your costing wrong, you've got your margin wrong. So once again, it goes back to the bottom line. And now, ERP is now very common. I mean, if you're not aware, there's a business called SAP that's obviously huge. They're a very large European conglomerate. So SAP and Oracle are the two probably behemoths. And then you've got smaller ones. I mean, obviously, Antipodean Company Zero is very well known. They're a very good choice for a small business. And once again, that's totally online. You can plug in modules to do a better job for you for things like inventory tracking and costing. And they're very reasonable. And I think it's a no-brainer, frankly. It's an absolute no-brainer.
I know you guys use J-Curve. Are there particular things that you think people should look for in ERP? So, I mean, obviously, Xero is not, it's not a complete ERP. It's like a partial ERP, and it will work for a business of up to about $2 million. And then often people want something a bit more sophisticated. What are the key things that you think people should be looking for in terms of that functionality? I mean, is it how the data is displayed, or ease of readability? What is it for you guys?
That's a good question. I agree entirely with your comments regarding Xero. And I think they even admit it sort of tops out at a turnover of about $8 or $10 million. We liked J-Curve because it was completely plug and play. Some systems, I understand from everything I've heard, you've got to chuck $200,000 of IT consulting at it to get it up and running, where in our case, J-Curve was good to go. You just basically download your, we went across at year end, so we just loaded up 1 July opening balances to every ledger account and started trading. And it really, we had a bit of consulting from a business online, but really we were right across things. I think we actually ran parallel for a couple of months to be sort of built in braces, but we were completely moved across in a couple of months. It was, in hindsight, quite painless, and we thought it might have been a real challenge. But you do a bit of training with the staff, with your team, to get them sort of, I suppose, to accept the change management. And we, once again, had a little bit of consulting, but frankly, we found it fairly intuitive to do it ourselves.
So you don't need to be a tech genius or have a PhD in, IT engineering to make your ERP work. That is a bit of good news.
Not at all. Not at all. And once again, if you need some consulting, there's a lot of people around who'll very happily charge you for it.
Tom, that is fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in and kind of getting down in the weeds with us on this stuff, because, it's not a topic that gets talked about all the time. But I think at a point in history like the one we're in right now, where often, as we've said, sales are flat and business is going slow, that ability to really manage the balance sheet and manage what's going on inside the business with stock and accounts on a really timely and transparent basis is absolutely key to, getting through and making it onto easier times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, it gives you credibility in front of people like your bank and your lawyers and everything else too. You've got to look like you understand what you're doing. That sounds very obvious, but.
Well, thank you for coming in today. And I look forward to catching up on the Emma and Tom international story in the post-COVID period.
Yes, thank you. Stay tuned. Thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone. This is Maher again. And just a few things before you head off. Firstly, if you feel you have gained valuable insights from the show, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss another episode. More importantly, don't forget to tell your fellow entrepreneur and business leader friends that this is the best podcast to tune into if they're looking to take on the world with their products and services. Also, if you are loving the podcast, please take the time to rate and review, as it's one of the best ways for us to get loads of free value into the hands of other entrepreneurs. And lastly, make sure to visit DearinAssociates.com. That's D-E-A-R-I-N, associates.com, where we have plenty of free resources and tools for you to get clarity and build momentum with your international venture. If you go there, you'll find the Blueprint to International Success, ebooks, our latest blog posts, and more. So be sure to check it out. And until next time, this is me encouraging you to expand your vision and wishing you all the best as you continue your global journey.